Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Amen. Well, it's so good to be here tonight. It's been a while since I preached, hasn't it? Wow. Well, we're here now. Amen. Praise God. I was getting ready to do a few other things. It was last week, I believe. And I was sitting down with my iPad and something popped up on my feed, so I listened to it. It was a worship song. And actually, Justin and some others were sharing with me some worship songs, and we've incorporated a few into our worship team that are excellent. And it was this particular group, so I was listening to it. And I had tears in my eyes. I just started worshiping the Lord. And, you know, and I just totally got distracted with the word is what I want to do. Because, you know, anything else I had to do, it wasn't work. I was just kind of chilling out, if you understand. You know, we do that occasionally. But anyway, in a good way. But I was distracted by worshiping the Lord. And I just sat there and played song after song after song and just got so blessed. Amen. So blessed. And, you know, of course, there's some things there that I didn't quite believe with. We're not exactly the same camp, but we're all Christians, you know, but there were so many things that they were singing. What blessed me so much was there were a lot of young people there. It's like, oh, hallelujah. And I do believe that there's a real move in our younger generation of worshiping in the spirit and in truth. Remember, Jesus came to the woman at the well. They talked about that. And so anyway, let me get a drink. So anyway, I was listening to that, and I do believe that there is a real move of consecration going on. And I believe that the Lord started dealing with me that this is a wonderful thing. This is a great thing. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And that was a prayer of consecration. And consecrating ourselves to the Lord on a daily basis, whatever it takes, if it's worship music, you know, preaching videos or sermons and that will get us to that place. That's a wonderful thing. Anything that will get us to doing God's word, hearing God's word and doing his word, that's a good thing. But understand, but the Lord began to show me some things, and I knew that I was going to be ministering on this, and then Pastor Jay asked me to minister, and I said, yes, I'll do that Wednesday night. Because he began to deal with me, there's all different types of services, you understand? But a pastor is a general practitioner, and a pastor doesn't just come in and just preach healing all the time. Or he doesn't just come in and just teach a move of the Holy Ghost all the time. There are things that we have to look at, and really we've got to be led because there's so many things that the people need, but we have to be led by the Spirit to come in, and as a general practitioner, just like a doctor, would be able to diagnose, you know, somebody's got something wrong with their leg, or somebody's got something wrong with their stomach, or their shoulder, or whatever. And by the Spirit of God, we've got to be able to diagnose those things and go in there and minister along that line. And I believe in this day and age, there's a move going on that really we're seeing an anointing on worship. We're seeing a consecration. We're seeing people just not get up there and jump up and down in their holy jeans, so to speak. I'm not talking about pure jeans. I'm talking about jeans with holes in them. And not necessarily that it's wrong to have jeans on when you're worshiping. I'm not going to go there with everybody. You understand? But at the same time, getting up there and just entertaining people. And it blessed me to see young people not trying to entertain. And it blessed me that many of the words of their songs were about the throne of grace and about faith and the move of the Spirit. But then I started clicking on some others that were truly, the music was phenomenal. There was anointing there, but it was more of a begging God. It was more of a, oh God, please come to meet us. And if you're listening to that too often, then there's a place where you'll start getting off because we've got to know who we are in Christ. So I believe the Lord began to deal with me as pastors teaching your people about worshiping in spirit and truth. Now let me mention somebody. His name is Norval Hayes. And he's a minister that's been around for several years. Anybody familiar with his ministry? And Pastor Nancy's had him at their church. And actually, the Lord dealt with, and I'm going to read something that the Lord said to Pastor Nancy in her book on worship. And I would encourage you to get that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But at the beginning, she talks about being in Fireball, California. And have, and this was in March of 2019, having a heavenly visitor. And she basically said, she saw an angel, or she sensed that there was an angel in the corner of the room. Now, we're getting back to the topic of worship, but this goes along with that. This is in her book on worship. And she talks about the chapter on a heavenly visitor. She said, I walked over to where the angel stood, held out my hands, and said, I receive what you have for me. I sensed him deposit something into my spirit. Then I spoke out these words that came out of my spirit. That's the impartation for utterance of the revelation brought through Norval Hayes. That's what she interpreted. That's the impartation for utterance of the revelation brought through Norval Hayes. Then the angel left. So, and she said, Brother Norval primarily taught on faith, healing, and worship. God wasn't necessarily assigning me to preach Brother Norval's sermons, but to teach the message, the revelation he brought. God was leading me to teach and emphasize the place of worship in the life of faith. Yes. Amen. Amen. Worship in the life of faith. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So worship in the life of faith. Now I'm going to, let me see. This is what the Lord said to her. It matters how you treat a man of God at the end of his life. Many will treat a minister right when his public ministry is at its peak. Everyone wants him to minister in their church then. But it matters how you treat him at the end of his life. Only someone honorable will still honor a man of God at the end, just as Elisha honored Elijah before Elijah left the earth. He asked Elisha, what shall I do for you? Elisha asked for a double portion of his spirit. Elijah told him he would receive it. If you see me when I am taken from you, 2 Corinthians 2:10 Amplified, if Elisha would have served Elisha faithfully in prior years, but left him at the end, he would not have received a double portion of the anointing. It matters how you treat a God, a man of God at the end. Amen. And actually, that's what the Lord said to her, all those things. And she, and he was referring to there, Norval Hayes, and then that angel, of course, was there to minister to her to take that message on. Of course, she has other things in her spirit, you understand, and she's not Norval Hayes, but there's an anointing, there's an impartation. Praise the Lord. So Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy have taught Pastor Jay and I that, and we saw that about Dad Hagen. And I believe that God, he not only blesses us because we honor a man at the end of their life, but because we still honor the teaching even though they're in heaven. Even though they're in heaven. So the revelation, see, the reason I say that, because why would an angel be there and minister to her impartation to take this revelation, take it to the body of, you know, continue to take it to the body of Christ? Why? He's still in heaven. So we know that the revelation that Dad Hagen, as our spiritual father, and Dr. Dufresne as our spiritual father, people like Norval Hayes, we know that even though they're in heaven, how much more Are we supposed to look at the revelation that's in line with God's word, you understand? And we are supposed to, praise the Lord, we are supposed to take that and study it out and continue on with it and even look to the Lord for, Lord, is this what you would have me to minister? Because Dad Hagen was our spiritual father, and there were many impartations, but I'm still getting revelation of his books and his teachings. And sometimes God's showing me, I want you to emphasize this. And he's not here. So if I dishonor his life and ministry, even, I guess I should say it this way. I would dishonor his life and ministry if I just stopped reading his books, if I just stopped listening to his tapes, if I just, you know, or CDs or flash drives or whatever. If I just stopped altogether and just, okay, Lord, it's just the revelation I have. Or just only those, you know, young whippersnappers on the scene. Well, we're going to lose out and we're going to be dishonorable. So I said all that to say that although I'm not going to teach this book, I would really encourage you to get Pastor Nancy's book on worship. Amen. And then also, Brother Norville Hayes, Dr. Norville Hayes, he has a book, Worship More Than a Song. Yes. Worship More Than a Song. And the Lord dealt with him, and I'm going to read a little bit. Is that okay? Yes. Several years ago, I was driving down the road just minding my own business when the Spirit of God came upon me. He comes upon me in some of the most unusual places. And he said to me, son, the church is sadly lacking. So now you understand, God showed Pastor Nancy to take the message of worship that he had and take it on. So I'm reading his book and I'm actually in line with what the Lord told Pastor Nancy to do. And this is what I'm doing. Amen. Now, he didn't specifically send an angel in the room and tell me to, you know, that I'm supposed to. But this is a subject that Pastor Jay and I, it's been very dear in our heart. And really, worshiping in spirit and in truth, really worship is what prepares the service. Yes. Worship is what will help your pastor get to the place and really help the people. It will help prepare their heart. But worship isn't to take over the service. Unless God is leading the pastor to go that direction. And sometimes when you watch these videos, I'm not putting anybody down. Like I said, I got very blessed. Sometimes when you watch these videos, you get all consumed like, well, that's all we should be doing in life. Now you should, it says, you know, continually give thanks. So we of course should. And the reason I would encourage you to get Brother Norville's book, Dr. Norville's book, is because the Lord shows him how to do this on a daily basis. He said, the Lord told him, you're going around the country teaching my word. You're teaching faith and confession. You're praying for the sick, but you need to worship me more, and you need to teach my people to worship me more. I'm their God, and they're my children. If you'll teach my children to worship me more, I'll do great and mighty things for them. Now, many times we say, well, I just haven't been doing that, so I really can't. Well, praise the Lord. I really can't talk to people about it until I've been doing this for 5 years. No, we just, when we get revelation of something, we just pick it up. And now, of course, I've been worshiping the Lord for years, but there are seasons I've done it more than others. And I know that God is dealing with me to go up higher in that. And we're not just supposed to worship in the services. As a matter of fact, I love the fact that Brother Norville emphasizes how God taught him. And he basically said, your worship is sick if all you're doing is worshiping at church. It needs some help. It's sick. You understand? And we've got to be able to learn to worship on our own at home. You can't take the latest YouTube, you know, minister with you everywhere you're going. You understand? Now, you can have if something really ministers to you and it's helping you lay down your life, consecrate your life, it's helping you to hunger the word more, it's helping you to desire God and his presence, well, turn it on more. I mean, praise the Lord. Have it in your home. Turn it on. That's a blessing. Even Brother Norrell talks about driving in the car and they had worship you know, CDs going. And, you know, before the service, I'm the type of person, I typically have one CD that blesses me so much, I listen to it for 5 years. You understand? So I'm not really looking on YouTube for the latest one. It's just that one got it, and it gets me in the presence of God. And so I just keep listening to it. You understand? But, well, praise the Lord. Amen. Can I read a little bit more here? All right. How much have you been worshiping God this month? This is what Norval asked in his book. You might say, I haven't worshiped him any this month, but I go to a good church. My pastor's nice. You have to understand, Norval just says it like it is. Well, I don't doubt that you go to a good church and have a nice pastor, but what does that have to do with you? Your pastor and your church can't worship God for you. You're supposed to have a relationship with God yourself. Really, what we do, when we truly understand praise and worship, it might start out dry, but we just worship the Lord when we're washing the clothes. We just worship the Lord when it's not just a minister that's supposed to worship the Lord before the service. And even Brother Norval, you know, because as I was reading, and frankly, I just started reading this last night, so I'm just referring to things I should have a long time ago, but praise the Lord. I got it. I'm starting to read it last night. Praise the Lord. Because God's just been drawing me to have more of a all-inclusive life of just worshiping him. And I'm starting to understand that this will begin to more meet my desires and my hungering to go further in God, not just further in ministry, but to have a relationship with my Father, but in a way that I will hunger for the Word more, in a way that I will lay down distractions more. You know, we're always looking for gizmos that help us. Well, if this does it, then sign me up. That's, you know, because I, you know, sign me up. I'm hooked on Jesus, and I just want to do whatever it takes to not only please him, but to just have his presence around me. And whatever it takes for me to cut off the things of the flesh and to get rid of distractions, sign me up. Whatever I need to do to just put down myself. And hey, if that's a YouTube video that they're singing and they're yielding to the anointing, praise the Lord. Good. But I can't live there. I'm going to take that into my bathroom and into my kitchen and in wherever I'm going. I'll be honest with you. I haven't listened to that YouTube video since last week. Why? Because I'm creating worship of my own. I'm worshiping the Lord. I'm just the type of person. It's like, look, if they can do it, so can I. As a matter of fact, I was laying down there and I went and got on my keyboard. I think it was the next night. And I just began to worship the Lord and I just began to tear up. And I love to worship God. And I was just singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And it's just something that sometimes God's got to remind us, hey, you know, you used to do this more. We need to get back to this, or, you know, we just need to pick it up and make it a lifestyle. So, Brother Norval said, you might say, Brother Norval, I've been saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost for 30 years. God knows I love him. You didn't answer my question. Have you worshiped Jesus any this month? Have you bowed down before him this month and called him your Savior, your healer, your miracle worker? Okay, that tells me that Brother Norval knows something. He's not just worshiping the Lord. We're not just going to the throne and worshiping the Lord, but we know who the Lord is. So we're going to him and we're taking who he is and what he has done. So not only who he is, but what he has done. He's a great and mighty God, but he's the great and mighty healer. And we start thanking him, Father, you're a good God. You're a holy God. You're a merciful God. And I thank you that healing and wholeness is in this home, and it's taking place in my life. And I thank you for, and I, you know, as many times as we're driving, thank you, Lord, that is such a beautiful sunset. Thank you, Father. Oh, you're so good. Thank you for this home, Lord. There have been times I just sit in my chair and look at our home and say, thank you. Thank you. You did this. You helped us. But not only do we worship God for who he is, some people stop there because their songs are all about God's holiness. Yes, he's a holy God. But do they know what he's done? Do they know what he's done in redemption? Do they know that not only are they forgiven, but they're healed? Do they know that they're prospered? It's not a dirty word. God wants us to be blessed. We don't have to apologize for that. Amen? Brother Norman said, have you thanked him because your name is written in heaven? Have you told him how wonderful he is and worshiped him and him only? God finds so much favor in his children when he looks down and sees them worshiping and praising him. He's working out their problems for them. He gives them everything they need and want that's in the Bible. He brings to pass the desires of the heart. He gives them everything they need and want in what?
The Bible.
The Bible. So how much do we have to understand the Bible?
Yes.
Do we need to learn? He magnifies his word above his name. That's what the psalmist said. We've got to put an emphasis. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I want to go to something here. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Are we worshiping in spirit and truth? You can turn real quickly to John 4:19. John 4:19. Are you there yet?
Yes.
The woman said to him, sir, talking about Jesus, Jesus was standing there, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on the mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Verse 21, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. Oh my goodness. Does anybody fall in that category? Oh, yeah. A lot of people are worshiping what they don't know. Their worship is misdirected many times. Now, not everybody. And I'm not everybody's judge. As a matter of fact, it says judge not, lest you be judged. Now, we can judge songs, but we're not to judge the heart of the person that wrote it. You understand? So we can judge the song, and if it doesn't line up with the word, don't listen to it. Or you can judge, okay, somebody could be singing a song, but the anointing's not there. Something's off. You know, there was somebody that, again, I was watching different YouTube, and there was a man who seemed right, and there were even others around him worshiping that, yeah, they were right, but it just kept standing out in my spirit, they're not quite right. And, you know, it's all about the hair and the boots and the buckle and things like that that were standing out. Every night he'd kind of smiling like, you know, wanting. And then there are others in the group worshiping that weren't looking at anybody, and they could care less what they look like or, you know. You could tell the difference. And then I looked at that guy and looked at some of his, and all of his videos were kind of that way. Like, oh. Why is it that, you know, there's a difference. Somebody can be worshiping the same song and directing it to the Father and really mean the words. And then somebody else, it's not really there. So it leads me to believe, well, you know, again, I'm not trying to judge that person, but I just know that I couldn't listen to them. In other words, it's not doing anything for me. We've traveled around for a lot of years, went into so many churches, and we've been blessed by worship groups, you understand? But then you get in some churches where the worship group is just trying to entertain. And if you can just get them out of the way and get up there and have people truly worship the Lord, then you can actually get the word preached. But they've got to be taught. And we teach our people, of course you want them to look nice. You know, we're not going to have a bunch of stragglers up there. And you want them to sound nice. But at the same time, just because we have a worship team where, you know, they got to sound good, that doesn't mean, it says make a joyful noise. You don't have to be somebody with a music degree to worship the Lord. Well, let's keep on going here. So Jesus said in verse 23, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, what's a true worshiper? A true worshiper will worship the Father in what? In spirit and truth. The Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Amen. Let me ask another question. Are we emphasizing worship and not emphasizing the word? Or are we incorporating the knowledge of God's word in our songs? Is this okay? All right. Just doing some teaching here tonight. Incorporating the knowledge of God's word into the songs prepares our heart to receive the teaching of the word.
Yes.
Now, there's nothing wrong with going to a concert that's geared on worship. There's all different types of services, you understand? But at the same time, we can't live on that.
Right.
It's like living on dessert all the time.
Yes.
We've got to have the meat of the word.
Yes.
And really, the way God set it up is to have the heart prepared before the word, you know, open up the heart so that when you're hearing the word, you're able to retain and you're able to understand. Faith's understanding of the heart rises when you're hearing. And it's the hearers and the doers that are built on the rock. What is the rock? Is it worship? Matthew 7:24, it's talking about, you know, those who hear and do are the ones who become wise. Those are the ones who were built on the rock. Their foundation was built on the rock. That rock is the word of God. Or you could say the word of truth, the knowledge of God's word. It wasn't built on worship. It was built on God's word. And when we truly get to know God's word, when you get to know the author of the book, you're going to start knowing, you're going to start being drawn in, you're going to start hungering to get to know God better. Have you ever read, to be honest, I read the Bible and I read, you know, Christian books. But so when I'm reading the book, I usually know the authors already because they're my pastor, or they're my close friends. But it helps me to see that person, where they are, what they believe. But let's take it back, you know, when I was younger and sometimes I used to, what is that, the mystery novels or whatever. And you're like, I'd really like to meet that person. Wow. Yeah, because I like the way they write and that type of thing. When you get to know the author of the book, you're starting to understand that. And let's take it back to the Bible. When you get to know the author of the Bible, which is God,
amen,
then you will start to understand really who God is.
Yes.
And that's when you can really worship him. Because when we come to God in just the prayer of consecration all the time, that's usually because that's what we're hearing other people sing about. But we don't know much about God because he doesn't expect us to gravel in the carpet, just always consecrating ourselves. You know, Lord, I just want to do your will. Lord, I just consecrate myself. Well, that's all good and fine. Get up and do it. But how do we do it? We got to hear. And so we can do it. You understand? And that's why it's so important to have teaching. So if we're just hearing about consecration, which that's good, people need. Oh my goodness. A big factor in the church today is we're not consecrated. So we need that, but we cannot live In the prayer of consecration. We got to get to the prayer of faith. We got to understand really who God is. And start praising Him and start standing up like the giant in Christ you are. And understanding your authority and who you are in Christ. And I can do all things through Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. You are the only one true God. And you have lifted me up and you have healed my body and you have caused me to be strong. Amen. We were talking about Psalms 138:2. It says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Worshiping him in spirit and in truth. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. So truly, the church service is set up to where we have the praise and worship in order to help the people engage, open their hearts up, and let the anointing start flowing. And of course, we see healings and we even see signs and wonders even during the worship time. And truly, when the worship team will hook up, when they will come after they've consecrated themselves and spent time in the presence of God and truly singing out of their spirits, I don't know if you've noticed, but the last month or so, we went higher. And it's helped Pastor Jay. Hey, we've been around for 20 years. We can grow. Amen. There have been seasons where we went up. There have been seasons we went down. We went back up. You understand? Let's stay up. Amen. Let's stay up. You know, we appreciate our praise and worship team. We appreciate the commitment that they have and the commitment to help lead us in the praise and worship. But when they come prayed up, when they come and they're not trying to entertain, when they come they're not just trying to draw attention to themselves, when they just truly out of their spirit are worshiping the Lord, and we tell them, you've got to do it 10 times more than the congregation. It's got to be amplified. And in our mouth praises him, and the anointing will help the people to enter in. And then you hit them with the word. Hit them with the word. Show them how to get healed. Show them how to not only live consecrated life, that's part of teaching, you teach that as well, but you show them how to prosper in life. You show them how God wants to bless them. You show them how to be free from addictions. You show them, you teach them. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. That's all good. So incorporating the knowledge of God's word into the songs prepares our hearts to receive the teaching of the word, doesn't it? Amen. So, praise the Lord. Here's another question. Are you ready for another one? Are we acting in faith and worshiping and thanking God for who he is, for what he has done, and what he is daily doing? Are we acting in faith and worshiping and thanking God for who he is, for what he has done, according to our redemptive rights and privileges in Christ? We've been talking about this. For the things he is daily doing. He's daily working in our lives. He's daily bringing the blessings of God. But he's already provided the blessings. He's already provided healing. He's already provided every redemptive right. But he's daily giving us direction. He's daily bringing things into our lives. He's daily dealing with us to reach out to our neighbor and serve one another in love. You understand? So daily, we thank him for that. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for helping me to see what my neighbor needs. Have you ever done this? Many times I've said, Lord, help me to see how I can help other people. Sometimes I've got a $100 bill burning in my, wallet. And I say, Lord, is there somebody that I could bless with that? You show me. Praise the Lord. But really, I just say, I let him lead me and guide me. Just stay, and thank you, Lord, for leading me to help. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the money to help. Thank you for giving me good health. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It'll change our lives. I said it'll change our lives. Are we seeing true and consistent change in our lives after times of worship? Are we seeing true and consistent change in our lives? The only way that you can see true and consistent change in your lives is to know who God is. In other words, you got to get in his word. Because when you're worshiping God, your worship will be misdirected if you don't know who he is. And really, you could say it will be a false worship if you don't know what he's done. Because many times people will be begging God for things. Or they'll sing something that was from the Old Testament, like, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Well, he's not going to take his Holy Spirit. He gave his Holy Spirit to you for an eternity. Unless you commit the unpardonable sin. And we're not teaching on that tonight. Moving right along. So there are unscriptural things that people, they come in, they know how to yield to the anointing, so to speak. They know how to play the keyboard. They know how to just, here we are to worship. And you think, hallelujah. Or they're singing, I exalt thee. And it's just so melodious and it's blessing. And then they go to the song, don't take your spirit from me. Oh, God, I'm begging you to stuff like that. I don't even know the song, okay? All right. You get the picture, all right? There's something I wrote out. The bottom line is, we are not going to be able to flow in the revelation of God's word, miracles, healings, and the gifts of the Spirit to set people free without preparing the hearts and the atmosphere with the proper worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. We are seeing a move of Christians, especially the younger generation, who have been so self-consumed. All of us have at times, you understand, I'm not putting anybody down. But they're learning to lay down self and lift up the name of Jesus and experiencing worshiping the Lord in the Spirit. But we need to make sure we are worshiping both in spirit and in truth. We are still having to bring the knowledge of God's word. Remember, I've magnified my word above your name. That's pretty big. In other words, the word is the only thing that will change our lives. And what we are singing about must be in line with the word for it to work in our life. And we've got to believe it. We can just parrot the words. We can be singing something that we don't understand. And congregations all over the country and all over the world are singing songs that they don't understand because they don't have somebody to teach or preach the gospel of redemption of what they have in Christ. See, we have to be balanced in these things or we'll get over on the ditch. And you may be with a friend that's getting really blessed by a worship song and, you know, don't, well, praise the Lord that, you know, they're not singing about the word there. So turn it off. Well, no, don't do that. Let's eat the hay and spit out the sticks, okay? Oh, praise the Lord. People are getting blessed. People are getting healed. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Even worship, you know. But then, did you notice that they were begging God there? Did you notice they were singing, you know, don't let the Holy Spirit leave you? Did you notice there that was kind of off the word a bit? You know, but their hearts are right. It's pretty obvious. Their hearts are right. See, we're all on the same side. Okay? And people are getting saved and healed. Well, not always maybe healed, but they're getting saved. Hallelujah. Maybe they're just learning about worship. I don't know. I don't go to all the concerts. I don't know what churches they're from. They may go to a church and they may have just like the most wonderful pastor. But if they do, then they're going to incorporate the word and they're in the words. Amen. And they're going to teach people. Hallelujah. And there are good songs out there like that. Praise the Lord. Okay, where was I? We need to make sure we are worshiping both in spirit and in truth. We're still having to bring the knowledge of God's word by teaching about and receiving our rights and privileges of redemption in Christ. Worship without acting on the revelation knowledge of the word by faith will not bring a revival of the miraculous, because faith in God's ability to bring miracles, heal, prosper, and set free only comes through hearing and doing God's word on those subjects. There is a prayer of worship or consecration and laying down one's life unto the Lord, laying down our plans, sin, our desires, offenses. You know, we've had services like that. But after we have laid things down by faith, then we must take up his blessings by faith. He is waiting for our words of faith that comes from the hearing and doing of his word. Let me read that again. He is waiting for our words of faith that comes from the hearing and the doing of his word. Amen. Hebrews 4:14 through 16. Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That tells me that we don't just go to the throne of grace and worship, but we actually go there and ask something.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, wow. Yes. 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 Yes.
We can sing about the throne of grace. We can get blessed about the throne of grace. But the throne of grace is a place that God has set aside for the Christian believer to obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. And when we humbly get before the Lord and go to his throne of grace, we don't grovel in the dust, but we say, Father, I'm asking for your help. I need healing in my body. I need help with my mind. There's addiction in my life. So what I'm supposed to do, according to Colossians 3, is I lay these things down by faith. As you get a knowledge of God's word of what you need to lay down, you've got to lay it down by faith. It's like taking off a garment, but then you put on a new garment of health, healing, whatever you need. And then you just go your way thanking God. I'm healed. I'm whole. I'm full of the life of God. I'm strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. And you do this daily. And it becomes a lifestyle. And that's why I encourage you, because I don't have time to preach the whole book on this. But I'm saying to you that, yes, it might seem dry at times. But you just start out by faith. You pray in the Holy Ghost. And whether you hit a gusher or not, you just pray in the Spirit and say, Lord, I'm being changed. Light is coming to me when I pray in the Holy Ghost. You're helping taking desires out of me when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm praying in mysteries when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. You see, but when you don't know what the Holy Ghost is for, and you're just, you know, don't take the Holy Spirit from me. Well, we don't even know why He's there in the first place many times. We don't understand what we have in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so we need to be taught the Word. So are we blessed by the revival of worship that's going on? Oh, yes. People are being blessed. People are becoming more consecrated. We're seeing younger generations, and we're seeing people jump in to the river. You understand? But let's understand not to lose the Word, because that's where true revival, that's where the miracles will truly come. So the worship with the Word, but understand, He magnifies what? Even before His name. Why don't you stand up? A trusting relationship with the Father comes from a progressive faith life fueled by spiritual hunger, focused attention, and a strong desire to know God and His Word. We progress in the spiritual life when we take steps to learn and fill this longing that comes from our born-again human spirits. This intimacy with the Father comes by getting to know His Word and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit through time spent in prayer, or you could even say in worship. When we get to know the author of the book, then we will learn to trust Him and wholeheartedly use our faith to access all the promises of His Word. When we get to know the one who forgives, we will more quickly receive His mercy and compassion. When we get to know the provider, we will more easily receive His provision. And when we get to know the healer, we will more readily act on His healing power within. We progress in the spiritual life when we take steps to learn and fill this longing that comes from our born-again human spirits. Somebody wrote that in a book called Divine Healing and Health for Today. Amen. Let's just lift our hands to Him. I don't know if it's just me. I'm a little hot, but not real hot, so don't turn it down too much. Well, I want the worship team to come back up, and we're going to... Let's sing that song, Here I Am to Worship. Before we sing that, honey, did you have anything else?
Light of the world, You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see.
Just lift your hands and begin to worship Him.
The beauty that made His heart adore You. You came to the earth, you came.
Hallelujah. Let me say this because it keeps coming up in my spirit, and I don't want to leave without. There's a story about Dad Hagen he told years ago in the healing school, and we were back there helping in those days. But some of the instructors and the worship team were having such an anointing on the worship service that it was going a long time in the healing school before Dad Hagen would minister. And the Lord began to, and you know, and of course, everybody thought that was wonderful. Well, don't you want to have a strong anointing? Well, you're going to have an anointing when you direct worship, you understand? But the Lord dealt with Dad Hagen, and he said, tell them to just do a couple songs to prepare the hearts of the people to get into unity for the service, something along that line. But we were trying to, I was trying to find it, the exactness of it, but something along that line, because this is for teaching how to receive healing. And this is for teaching the people faith to be healed, not a worship service. And that was an important thing. You understand that he anoints services because it's directed toward him. But we can go up much higher if we will do every single service, if we will look to the Lord and say, what is this service for? And then we can progress. And it will even be a stronger anointing. But not only that, we'll see the miraculous. And when somebody comes into this service and they've been sick for years, I mean, all you have to do is be sick for a week and you're thankful that you're healed. You understand? So if we will learn to take healing to them, so to speak, because we're walking in the Word and we're providing an atmosphere of that, we're doing what the Lord said, then we're creating an atmosphere where the miracles can happen. We're creating. And also, during the praise and worship, there are times when the worship team is, when they hit a place in worship, I start seeing things in my spirit. And sometimes God will have me minister to somebody in the congregation or what have you. But, you know, if they're up there dragging, and it's like, I'm not wanting to minister to anybody. You understand what I mean? But we've all been there, done that. Amen. There have been services I've been involved with where they had to roll water to, you know, because it was so dry. You understand? That's a joke we have amongst ministers. You know, they're rolling waters. It's dry up here. Help me out. Praise the Lord. So, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Oh, why don't you just yield to your prayer language and direct it to him? Just lift your voice in your prayer language. Thank you, Lord. If there's anybody in this room tonight, you need healing in your body. If there's anyone, you're dealing with symptoms and you just felt, you know, so led to come up, I'll minister to you through the laying on of hands. And there's an anointing on my life to do so. Years ago, the Lord dealt with me to start laying hands on the sick, that same anointing that he ministered to his disciples in the Gospels, that tangible anointing would minister to people if they would receive by faith. So if you have symptoms in your body and you want me to lay hands on you, then you can come up. I'll even use sanitizer. Where's Jocelyn at? Oh, okay. Wait, thank you for the stripes. Let's sing that. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Honey, do you want to join me? Or I just...
They found time in my heart. I got to see the program
already. Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them. It is by them I am healed. Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am healed.
What is it, Mona?
Thank you for the stripes you took
self-loathing
for me. It is by them I am healed.
Thank you.
Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am healed. Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them. Stripes you took for me, it is by them I am healed. Thank you for the stripes you took for me, it is by them I am healed.
You took my sickness, you took my pain. All of it was laid on you. You took my sorrow, you took my shame. That is what love will do.
Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am healed. For the stripes you took for me, it is by them I am healed. Thank you for the stripes you took for me, it is by them I am healed. Thank you for the stripes you took for me, it is by them I am healed.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am healed. Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them I am healed.
Your mercy, a flow of your grace that lets people know your love. A flow of compassion, a flow of your power that comes from the Father above.
Thank you for the stripes you took for me. It is by them. You took for me, it is by them
I am healed.
Hallelujah. Well, we're healed and whole, aren't we?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to Him and thank Him for the healing power that's working in bodies right now, driving out sickness and disease. Thank you, Lord, affecting a healing and a cure. Thank you, Lord. We're healed. We're whole. We're full of the life of God. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. Thank you, Father, that you're working in us and through us and moving on our behalf. Thank you, Father, that you're a good, good, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're good, 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 good Father. Hallelujah. Well, just shout hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor it's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's take the word in spirit and truth. Amen. Take it home with you, my friend, Pastor Jay.
I want to encourage you. This was good. Thank you, honey. That was Sunday night, I believe. She was referring to those YouTube videos she was watching. I was in the next room, and she was saying, is this the song? There's two songs I wanted her to hear. And then she was saying, is this the song? I said, yeah, that's it. And then the second one, yeah, that's it. And then we didn't talk anymore about it, and she started listening to these other ones. And I went into another room. And as she continued to listen, I could hear what she was listening to, and I kept hearing the anointing level of what she was here listening to, and the word level going down. We started out on word songs and anointed songs, and it kept going down. And I almost hollered from the other room, there's no anointing on that. But I shut up.
Was looking for anointed songs.
Yeah, she's looking for anointed songs.
Yeah.
And word songs.
Yeah.
Saying I love you 75 times, I mean, that's fine. But what do you love him for, you know? What has he done for you? What does the word say he's done for you? Anyway, but I didn't say anything. And we didn't even talk about it afterwards. Normally we would talk about it. But she's preached this tonight, and now I realize what she was doing. But here's my point. Sometimes, in other words, sometimes ministers have got to look what's going on out there in order to help people. You understand? She wasn't listening to it to edify her spirit. She's trying to find stuff that was anointed, but she's also to find out what's going on out there. And there is a move of consecration in the body of Christ in some of those circles, but they need the word too. I'm not re-preaching her sermon. I'm just simply saying, just because a minister might go and look for some of these things and find out what's going to in order to help their people doesn't mean you've got to listen to all this stuff. Is that making sense? Especially the worship team. They're looking for music and they've got to weed this out, you know. But here's the thing. You don't have to find all that. You don't have to listen to all that. You just listen to what you know is right. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you don't want to develop your ear for something that doesn't have the anointing on it. Something that just moves you emotionally, but doesn't have the word in it and doesn't have the anointing on it. Spirit and in truth. Worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. So I just wanted to maybe bring a little bit of understanding to that. Greet your neighbor as you go and tell him between now and I see you Sunday. I'm going to worship him more in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah.